Ken Rimple from the Chariot TechCast here. My topic today on this special podcast is a 2013 Philadelphia Enterprise Hackathon, a joint project sponsored by Bentley Systems, Teva Systems, and Safeguard Scientific. This hackathon is pretty big news. It's an attempt to reach out to the open source community and give it some problems to solve, and plus the offer for the winners to go home with some seed prize money, as well as some advice in establishing your business startup and the promise of that elusive first client. So, if you've always wanted to build that perfect open source product but didn't know what projects to focus on, put on your thinking caps and listen to what my guests have to say. First, a word about our sponsor. The TechCast is sponsored by Chariot Solutions. Specializing in open source application development, integration, and mobile solutions, Chariot can not only offer guidance and development expertise, but we can also train your developers in Spring, Maven, Nexus, Scala, Groovy and Grails, Hadoop, JavaScript, and even more. Visit our training site on the web at chariotsolutions.com/education. Now on to the interview. Welcome to the Chariot TechCast. My name is Ken Rimple. I'm here today talking about the Philadelphia Area Enterprise Hackathon. So on the line, I have Mike Shellhase. He's the Director of Field Applications for Bentley Systems. And I have Phil Moyer, who's the Managing Director of Technology at Safeguard Scientific. Hi, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hello.
So let's talk a bit about this, like the genesis of this. So who came up with the idea for a enterprise hackathon in the Philadelphia area?
I think it was Sotwick and I. Sotwick and, you know, we were talking about the fact that there is a lot of really, you know, world-changing applications and problems that enterprises work on. And we've got this huge talent pool in Philadelphia of software developers and really innovative thinkers. And we said, you know, why aren't they more connected? This is a great opportunity to try and plug these two communities together and to get them to get the energy kind of flowing between them.
Philadelphia being such a good place for this kind of thing. What do you think historically, and I'm kind of putting you on the spot a little bit here, but what do you think historically makes Philadelphia such a good place for this?
I did a little bit of research on this because I had this sense that, you know, I've been around the country, been around the world, and it was always really curious to me is that people would go off and build stuff in other areas around the country. It might be out in Silicon Valley or they might be up in New York or whatever. But when they want to actually sell something, they got to come back to this corridor. They've got to, you know, within about a 2.5-3 hour drive of Philadelphia, you have the highest concentration of Fortune 500 companies and you have the highest concentration of education institutions. So you've got healthcare, you've got government, you've got financial services, you've got media and telecom, you've got industrial manufacturing, all headquartered. Those industries are kind of all headquartered in about a 3-hour drive. And then you've got, like I said, the highest concentration of education institutions of any place in the United States. We've got about 25% of the education institutions. So we've got brilliant people coming out of colleges, innovative with great ideas, and we got all these customers. We're ground zero of what I call the commercialization corridor.
And, you know, the interesting thing is, I think you look at the enterprises doing business here, you look at the developers in the enterprise, and this is not, you know, this is kind of thinking about it from someone who's been here all their lives as a developer. And then you look at the open source community, which traditionally, originally, you know, Silicon Valley and a lot of other places, a lot of open source is done kind of West Coast and internationally. And there are people contributing in little pockets in the Philadelphia area, but then you see much more of a commercial perspective. What do you think the current back and forth is between enterprise developers and open source developers? Is it mostly just using frameworks and getting support for those frameworks that is most of what's going on? I mean, you know, I'll see people from various companies show up at user group meetings when we're doing open source kind of user groups, but it's not the predominant group.
Yeah, you know what's really amazing? It's so funny because I get a chance to see hundreds and hundreds of software companies every single year. And so many of them are using open source and so many of them are contributing to open source. But then they get and they kind of talk about that and their use of open source and their contributions back to the open source community. And then they turn around and inevitably one of their slides always has a list of customers. And all those customers are those people that I just talked to you
about. Yeah, right, exactly.
You know, I'm kind of going, this is, you know, this is a good thing. These enterprises are using the open source. They are helping to fund, you know, enhancements to the open source community. And whether we like it or not, or some people do or don't, you know, that commercialization, you know, actually gives more and more credibility to the open source movement. And those logos on those slides give the cred, I think, both ways.
Right. And so that's kind of moving beyond and open source, you know, tools in general. You know, I think we're getting to a point now where some of these tools are higher level and more, you know, far reaching, like the data science tools that are emerging, all the analysis tools like, you know, Hadoop and these ways of crunching through mass amounts of data to find information. So you're seeing, you know, large companies looking and digging through data and finding things they never found before. But there are some pretty serious challenges in some of these industries. So for example, the two industries we're looking at here are essentially what, infrastructure and then healthcare, right? Yep. So and I know we're going to have Satwick on a little bit to talk about the healthcare side, but it's, I guess the hackathon, it seems like you're trying to push into the business space for some of the open source, or at least to the problem solving space within the business areas for these projects, right?
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's a really important point, is that what we're trying to say is that, you know, the hackathons have been these fantastic concentrated efforts of moving a piece of technology forward or moving forward some ideas around solutions. And, you know, what we felt was that, you know, in the enterprise space, it's going to take a little bit longer, you know, than just kind of a weekend or otherwise to come up with, you know, a solution or kind of push some ideas forward. And, you know, it's interesting because I've started to see, I've gotten a chance to interface with a lot of CIOs and CTOs, and, you know, there are really great banks out there like ING Direct that are starting to open up their APIs, you know, and things that Bentley's doing to open up its APIs, you know, and organizations are starting to realize that this idea of opening things up and getting people to kind of help them, you know, with what they're trying, the problems that they're working on. That's what the smartest companies that are out there are doing, is they're actually understanding that the models that are used with open source are the models that should be used for the problems that they're trying to solve. And so, yeah, and so that's why I think it's exciting. Of course, we're giving a little bit more time than a usual hackathon because we think we want to try and create, you know, something that's, you know, kind of enterprise class day one. So
as we're getting into this discussion, I want to introduce our third guest. It's Satwick Seyshesai. He's a VP of Engineering at NextDocs. Hi, Satwick.
Hi, how are you?
All right. So let's discuss now a little bit about the different business problems. And let's start off with the infrastructure world a bit. You know, obviously, we know that governments have ever shrinking budgets. We know that a lot of the bridges in the United States, for example, are in serious need of repair. So is that kind of one of the main challenges out there from the construction perspective?
That's certainly one of the huge challenges. There are really just a wide range of challenges when we look at infrastructure and think really very broadly. So it's, you know, you think about roads and bridges as kind of an obvious first thought that props to mind. But when Bentley thinks about infrastructure, we think about everything from power plants, power generation, pipelines, wastewater, you know, water systems, buildings, you know, just about anything. Physical infrastructure can be really, really, really broad. And so when you look at that kind of breadth, you're looking at everything from, you know, design challenges to what's the best sustainable design technologies and approaches and on through to construction and what's, you know, what's the best construction techniques and latest processes we can support. And then on to operations. How do we make those assets last longer, as you're, you know, referencing bridges and their state across the country? So it really is a very, very broad problem set to look at and to think about. And so, you know, when we think about applying technology to this area, you know, so much of this problem then becomes a technical one, in the sense that it's, you know, it's a data problem in a lot of cases, right? It's something that really, how do we encourage what we call information mobility across these different disciplines, you know, from design to construction to operations? How do we really connect those stages of the life cycle, if you will, and use software to really connect those pieces together and make that much more efficient?
You know, licensing wise, you know, open source tools are generally used you know, more like I take your generic platform, I put my code on it, I ship my code, and it's running in my enterprise or on a web server somewhere. Right, so it's mine, right? And the code is ultimately my code with a compatible open source license that says I don't have to open my code up to the open source community. And you kind of, Phil got to it a little earlier when we were talking about opening up different APIs, you know, opening up RESTful APIs or what have you for use by external actors. I'm wondering, you know, like just in general, I'm sure enterprises are going to have to kind of tailor a little bit how they work with the open source community, given that there's going to be some proprietariness to some of the things they do.
The way that Bentley looks at this, we are so the use case we're looking at for the hackathon is all around our mobile app development. And so we're putting, you know, as we solve these really tough infrastructure problems and really there's a lot of kind of infrastructure that goes behind our development efforts as well for us to do a 3D model review or interaction on a mobile device. There's a lot that goes into that from a base platform perspective. And so one of the things that we're looking at is saying, okay, we've invested all this effort into some of these core technologies. How can we expose those technologies and release a software development kit that helps other people develop apps in the same vein? And so we see that as really an opportunity to say, you know, we're not going to get to every infrastructure app that's out there in terms of our development plans. How can we, lay the foundation and ultimately helps us, you know, in terms of building the Bentley ecosystem, but it, you know, really helps the community at large in terms of giving them some tools to start with and building their own apps on top of our platform.
So you're finding something in the space that could be a tool that could be reused, yeah, as opposed to trying to, you know, come up with some formula that will help you succeed in your business line, then not being able to open source that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's just so much foundational work that we've done that, you know, we know in terms of the value we've created, you know, one of the best ways to leverage that is really to allow others to build on top of that foundation as well.
So let's talk a little bit about the healthcare side. Satwick, can you give me an idea of what the challenges are that you're going to be kind of discussing in the hackathon?
Sure. So we actually have Teva Pharmaceuticals as our life sciences sponsor. And, you know, like many other companies in the pharmaceutical industry, they're faced with challenges around doing faster drug development, as well as, you know, once a drug is developed, getting the clinical trials to operate as fast as possible and reaching out to as many patients and as many doctors as possible to get information out about what the new treatments are. And so there's a lot of opportunities in the life sciences space to really take advantage of some of the exciting work that's been done in the industry today around mobile applications, around, you know, cloud-based applications that allow different parties to communicate together much more effectively, and apply those technologies to some important problems in life sciences, which are all geared around getting new treatments to patients sooner and safer. So we'll be looking at opportunities to connect patients with doctors, to doctors, to sponsors, and, you know, really facilitate the entire ecosystem of drug development and delivery.
So in terms of some of these technologies, what are you aiming at in terms of the sharing then? Like, what do you think that the type of solution might be that would be a good fit for the healthcare side?
So, for example, you could have a solution that allows patients in a rural area who are not as familiar with some of the new and exciting innovations that are going on in cancer treatments or in treatments for other chronic illnesses. You could have a communication tool that lets them keep up to date with the latest and greatest clinical trials that are happening in whatever illness is affecting them. That's an example where, you know, both patients and doctors who don't have as much regular communication as they need to could benefit from, you know, for example, a mobile application that alerted them when, you know, something new was happening and allowed them to keep up with general innovation in the industry.
How about things like, you know, mass data crunching and things like that? I'm sure that you have to have those. In fact, that's a lot of that innovation came from, I guess, healthcare and the science community anyway. Are you seeing track into the open source community for things like that, like the large scale data science systems? Or do you think that the open source community kind of has a reaction and is building software as a reaction to what the science community has already been doing?
No, I think it's definitely on the data side a two-way street. I think the innovations that are being motivated by a number of different industries, by the financial industry, by the healthcare industry, by many other industries, are all kind of coming together and producing a set of fundamental engineering innovations. You know, for example, the introduction of new platforms for storing the data, as well as for analyzing the data, and then for visualizing and displaying the data. All of those fundamental innovations happening in the open source community are because of similar problems across different industries. And then what you have as an opportunity in a field like life sciences is basically to use those fundamental engineering innovations in the context of problems such as wanting to understand what are the different molecules that are available that haven't yet been combined, and maybe predicting what might happen before you go through an expensive set of clinical development processes. Another great example of opportunities with data analytics in the space is in understanding the actual efficiency of the process. There's a very complex, multi-year, multi-stakeholder process involved in drug development and then clinical trials, getting the drug approved, and then manufacturing the drug. And so looking at data around who does what when, what third-party systems are required, what interactions between parties are required, and analyzing the data across the board to come up with insights into what would speed up and make more effective the clinical trial process is another great opportunity in this space.
So how do we get people involved? Like, people are going to start on these projects. First of all, how are the projects going to be announced? And how do people join up for them?
We're going to be announcing the projects at the Emerging Technology Conference, which is coming out on April 2nd. And what we'll do there is lay out the fundamentals of the hackathon. It's a very different hackathon than what you're used to. Instead of getting everyone together for a weekend and hacking through the night, it's really much more aligned with how problem solving happens in this space. We have about we have a few weeks to do the hacking as opposed to just a weekend. What we'll do on April 2nd is we'll announce what the challenges are, and we'll also make clear who the stakeholders are, the sponsors who are putting out these challenges, Bentley Systems, Teva Pharmaceuticals, Ben Franklin, and so forth. And from that point, the participants will have the opportunity to engage with the sponsors both in an online format as well as with meetups that we'll be scheduling between April 2nd and when the entries are due. What we're looking for from each of the participants is basically a proposal for what is a product and could be a business or should be a full business. So a solution to the challenge, but something that can actually grow to be a business as well. And so what we'll expect is a combination of a prototype with some screenshots and some working code, but also a business concept, some idea of how you'd commercialize this and how you'd go from the first customer to a scaled out business. We're looking for those final entries to come in by April 19th, and then over the next week, we'll be notifying finalists who will then have the opportunity to prepare a final submission for a Shark Tank, a really exciting opportunity to see both demos and business concepts explained across all the different finalists. That'll be occurring on May 1st.
Okay, and for people who don't know what a Shark Tank is,
there'll be a panel of judges. It'll likely be around three judges. The public will be there. And this is more kind of in the spirit of sharing the ideas that we're working on. And you'll get an opportunity to stand up and present for about 10 minutes and have 5 minutes worth of questioning. And so it's a pretty concentrated judging process.
You know, I understand there's prize money to be had, and that's a big deal actually, because you've got some very serious good money to be made here for people who want to start a business. Can you talk a little bit about that, or do you want to wait to the announcement?
Yeah, no, you know, I will tell you what's exciting about it, and I think that you'll see, is that, you know, we're going to be offering $50,000 of prize money, as we mentioned, but we also think that there's, you know, as part of the overall, we'll talk a lot more about this. I think probably the most important aspect of this is that we're giving organizations we're giving entrepreneurs and giving developers the opportunity to have a first client, a first customer. So a lot of businesses are kind of started without a customer. They're started as an idea. This, you're starting with the customer in this situation, and then getting funding to go and you know, hopefully build out a product or a business. And so I think that's pretty exciting. There's going to be some you know, additional prizes from Amazon. Like Amazon's has donated over $5,000 worth of AWS credits towards this. GitHub is donating some space. So that's all of that. I guess what I'd say to you, I keep kind of saying this, the whole community is coming together to try and help something be created here.
That is so true about trying to find that first client. I mean, even with an open source framework, a lot of the developers scratch their own itch. You know, so someone needs, you know, I think of the guy that wrote Spring. He was annoyed by Java Enterprise Edition. And he said, you know, this is taking way too much time to build a piece of code. So I'm going to go and make it better. But this is a little bit different. But at the same time, it's kind of coming at it from an entrepreneurial perspective, as opposed to just from a purely open source developer for their own free Libra open source perspective. So it's a little different, but it makes perfect sense for our area. Do you think that Silicon Valley, for example, operates more like this now?
You know, it's really interesting because I get a chance that I've been an entrepreneur, I've been a developer, I've been on kind of all sides of it. I've been inside of an enterprise company. And it's really interesting because I think out in the Valley, you know, and getting an interface, the interface that I see into a lot of the venture community out there is that, you know, they're funding companies that they know who the acquirers are going to be longer term. And, you know, they basically are saying kind of, we know who the acquirer is. So they're starting almost with an even greater end in mind, if you will. And then they're kind of, you know, looking to the entrepreneurs to kind of get launched and get those first set of customers. You know, and so I do think that they are, that's how they think. I think that we have this opportunity to think, you know, customer first here in this area.
So, Phil, one other question I have for you is, you know, when this is all done, I think you kind of alluded to this earlier, or one of us did. What's in it for the enterprises, from my understanding, is that they get to run the technology. Is that correct?
Yes. Yep. My feeling is that I think that we're going to see a lot of really great innovation. So I don't think there's just going to be one winner. I actually think that, you know, while the enterprises may select a winner, they may find that they want to work with some of the other participants that have come in. You know, maybe the idea is not as developed, but you still all of a sudden have this connection out in the developer community that of people that have like come up with some really amazing ideas for the challenge that you've put out there. So I think the enterprises are going to really get an opportunity to actually kind of see the chops of the development community and actually get a chance to get connected, and hopefully show as well that they're, you know, that they're essentially, you know, that they understand what it is to connect to this kind of community. I think that that's going to be really valuable. I think the development community, as I said to you, I think that, you know, we kind of put this prize money out there as a way of saying, look, we want to compensate, you know, somebody for a really, really great idea. And really, quite frankly, the goal that we started with was connect the community and hopefully start a product or start a company. It was literally that simple. It's just those two goals. And so we're hoping that the development community, as a result of this, comes out of this with an opportunity to go start a product or go start a company and be able to kind of, you know, build something that makes sense to them here in the Philadelphia area.
Ken, I can tell you from our from Bentley's perspective, I mean, we're really excited just to be a part of this and sponsor. But I think from our goals, you know, what we hope to get out of it, we're looking for, you know, some innovation, an innovative, you know, conceptual application that we can really look to that, you know, may have broad commercial appeal. Maybe somebody takes a different approach than one we had considered before. So that's a huge benefit to us. We're also looking just to connect with the development community a little bit better, looking for, you know, talent or expertise that we can hire or co-op with or interact with down the road as well. So, you know, we see a lot of opportunities from the enterprise perspective that we see a lot of value out of this.
And from a developer's perspective, I've had my career, you know, transition from working on open source, you know, consumer-based technology and working on technologies like Python and MySQL, and really focusing on the technology innovation. And over the last few years, I've transitioned to working on enterprise software, and I've been really excited to be able to meet directly with my clients and understand exactly what type of impact my software is having. And I'm hoping through this that other developers will be able to, really feel that same impact of their software as well.
Mike, Phil, and Satrick, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Ken. It was my pleasure.
So, did that interview get you fired up and interested? If you're going to go to Philly Emerging Tech on April 20th, If you're going to Philly Emerging Tech on April 2nd and 3rd, check out the Enterprise Hackathon session information. That's at phillyemergingtech.com. Thanks again to Satwick, Mike, and Phil for taking time to talk about the hackathon project. You can learn more about it at www.phillyenterprisehackathon.com. Our themes are free theme number 2 and 3 from podcastthemes.com. The show is produced by myself and hosted on Libsyn. For the TechCast, I'm Ken Ripple.